God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. During the sermon series and taking a look at the fruit of the Spirit, our main text is from Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Today we pick up the term kindness. Now, when I usually think of kindness, I usually start thinking of nice things that you can do for people. But even that nice is one of those vague words like have a nice day. Is that better or less than have a good day? Is it better or less than have a great day? What does it mean just to be nice? Well, if I start associating nice and kindness again, I start thinking about the poor cat. You know, as we're told, be kind to the cat, don't pull the cat's tail. Cats don't like this. So is kindness nothing more than avoiding to do harm to one's neighbor? Now, I will admit, in order to be kind, we should be avoiding to pulling the cat's tail, so to speak, of other people. But there's a little bit more to kindness than just, quote-unquote, be nice. To sort of explain this nuance of kindness, you're going to have to learn a Greek word. My apologies for it. But it fits well with the direction we need to go. The Greek word for kindness is Christos. And you may think, well, that may sound like something else that's very familiar to us. Like Christus, like Christ. Fair enough, they do sound an awful lot alike. And in my Greek dictionary, as I was looking up these words, I noticed that the entry, because it's by alphabetical order, for kindness is right next to the exact same word we use for Christ. Is there a connection? And the answer is yes. You see, the connection is that, yes, Christ is kind to us. He is kind to us in showing his love. He is kind to us in showing his mercy. He is kind to us where we do not get what we deserve. Because of our sins, we deserve nothing more than eternal wrath and damnation. But Christ is kind. He dies on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, no matter what sins they are. As a result, Christ looks at us in a very kind way, emanating of himself, and forgives our sins. I need to pick up on that for our message for today. From Romans chapter 12, verse 20, Paul records or reiterates a little bit from the Proverbs. He says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, how does this fit in with kindness? Very plainly and clearly, if we understand Christ dying on the cross for us sinners, giving us what we do not deserve, but giving us his love and forgiveness and eternal life, where we deserve eternal death and damnation, Paul picks up on this and says, from the Proverbs, if your enemy is hungry, then feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. How easy is this for us to do? Plain and simple. Apart from Christ, it's next to impossible. Our human sinful nature basically wants to say, wait a minute, why do I want to be nice to my enemy? Why do I want to take care of my enemy? I'd rather get to the rest of that Bible passage that talks about putting burning coals on his head. That sounds more like what my original sinful nature wants to do to my enemy. Except for that isn't exactly what St. Paul nor the author of the Proverbs had in mind. When we get to the part of heaping burning coals on his head, it doesn't necessarily mean that you go to your barbecue pit, take the hot red coals in a nice metal bucket or something, and find your enemy and say, hey, I got a present for you, and pour it on top of their head. No, just the opposite. Here Paul is using sort of a little bit of a Hebrewism to sort of describe in a picturesque language what is supposed to take place. The burning coals, in one essence, is more of a reference to embarrassment. Your enemy will be embarrassed if you do nice things for them. Hence, the reference to a red face, as if someone heaped burning coals upon their head. That's why St. Paul summarizes this and says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, I will admit, next week we're going to be talking about goodness, and there is a little bit of a distinction between goodness and kindness, so I'll save the goodness discussion for next week. Today, as we're taking a look at kindness, however, we need to understand the whole concept of how Christ is first kind to us. He does not put burning coals literally on our head because of our sin. He does not bring fire and brimstone down upon us, God's version of burning coals, when we do something wrong. Instead, he loves us and forgives us, even in the midst of our shortcomings. Talk about having a gracious God, a God who could bring down fire and brimstone, but instead a God who says, I will go myself, not to chastise, but to die, to love, to show forgiveness. Again, this whole concept of forgiveness is something that is foreign to us and fits in very well with what true kindness, kindness from God, is all about. Let me add another passage of scripture here from St. Luke chapter 7. St. Luke writes for us, "And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that Jesus was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. With this text, we have a very clear description of what kindness is all about. This woman received kindness from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. She was considered a sinner by the religious. But by our Savior, she was considered forgiven. Now, what do you think that she would do? Do you think she would go out in the world and continue to spew hatred or kindness? She enjoys that forgiveness that comes from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because she realizes her sins. And she comes to our Savior, who does not chastise her, but forgives her, frees her, and says, your faith by God's grace, has saved her. Go in peace. And so now she's going in peace. Now, we don't know the rest of the story, but I'm going to assume here, being attached to Christ changes us. It changes us like this woman. We have been lifted from the burden of sin. We have received the kindness from our Lord. Now, what do we do with that kindness? We go and turn and be kind and forgive other people. We help out even our enemy. We show that kindness to all those in need. But this begs a very interesting question. What do we do with people who say, well, I'm attached to Christ. I believe in God's forgiveness. But then we don't show kindness. We don't show love. We don't show forgiveness to our neighbor. Well, this passage from Luke does have another character in it. It does have the Pharisee in the Pharisee's house. The religious zealots who thought of themselves as, quote, saved, connected to God Almighty, that they knew the right way. But notice what their reaction was to this woman. Like, oh, here's another person to enjoy God's grace. Wonderful. No, their reaction was, if he knew she was a sinner, he wouldn't be allowing this. What is our reaction to our, quote, enemies, especially when they sin? Do we not realize that we also are sinners? Do we not realize that we also enjoy the kindness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Or do we want that kindness, that forgiveness of sins, only for us and not for our enemies? Bottom line is, when did you die on the cross and you're able to withhold forgiveness? Christ Jesus does not withhold forgiveness from you. Why would you in turn want to withhold forgiveness from someone else? Our human sinful nature, however, is strong. Even though we may enjoy the forgiveness of sins that comes to us, when it comes to us and showing kindness to someone else, someone who is as clearly as a sinner as you and I, do we do so? Or do our hearts now become hard and sit there and say, how can Christ love so-and-so? It's easy. He loves you. He loves me. We're sinners. He loves them also. So this day, when we take a look at what it means to have kindness as a fruit of the Spirit, we realize that being connected to Christ has changed us. We have been forgiven by God's grace. We give great praise and thanks to God that we hear His word of forgiveness. We receive Christ Himself with that bread and wine, that body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. And this does create joy within us. And joy should come out of us. This does create God's love within us. And God's love should come out of us. Likewise, it should create, and for us to understand Christ's forgiveness, His kindness to us, and in turn, that kindness should go through us to other people. If our hard hearts, however, is stopping that growth, that fruit of the Spirit, we have to remember, Christ is still loving us. He is still forgiving us. He is still trying to nurture us. He is still trying to give us His word, His sacraments, to soften our hearts. Yes, Christ can forgive an awful sinner like you and me. He can bestow His kindness, His forgiveness upon us, so we in turn will be changed because we are connected to Christ. So in our daily lives, when we realize that there are mean people in this world, and it does take an awful lot of strength and energy to show kindness and forgiveness to mean people, And we might be saying, Pastor, I just don't have the strength. I just don't have the love anymore. I'd rather be mean. Because in the aspect of being mean, what we're doing is we're taking that energy and we're keeping it to ourselves. It is hard to forgive and to be kind. And so we return this day for strengthening and encouragement. We return this day to hear from God's word that, yes, He was first kind to you and has forgiven you your many sins. And through His Holy Spirit, He lives within you to strengthen you. We come here today to be fed by Christ Himself because we need to receive His gifts, be attached to Him for eternal life. And we come today for strength so that we in turn can show His kindness that He has given to us, to those around us. We thank God that He does not give us what we deserve, that He doesn't heap the burning coals upon us with fire and brimstone, but He continues to shower us with His love and His forgiveness. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.